Good evening and welcome to the Armchair Analyst Podcast show for Monday, January 28th, 2013. Oh, tonight, I'll go ahead and bring everybody in and then I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. Tonight we got Cody McDonald. The usual.
Unmute yourself. Oh man, it's so much easier hosting this thing.
Oh my gosh.
Dustin. Okay. Dustin's with us.
We also have Dustin Hollingsworth.
I'm here.
I'm queer. And Daniel Cook.
Well, hey guys. It's going great so far, Kyle. I'm enjoying this.
I thought you were talking to me about unmute yourself. I'm like, what are you talking about?
No, I was trying to unmute myself and it wasn't working very well.
Okay, now that everybody's here, tonight we're going to do the usual. We're probably going to talk about some random stuff. We're also going to hit the obligatory National Football League. Talk about the NFL Honors Awards show that's this Saturday.
Can we talk a little basketball?
Thankfully, yes, we are going to talk a little bit of basketball.
Thank God.
I tried to make basketball
as possible because I know Cody likes to put one game in and then just skim past it.
Exactly.
That's pretty much it. A little bit of football, a little bit of Pro Bowl, a little bit of basketball, and then we'll probably touch a few other things while we're going through.
Obviously, we're going to try to ignore the nuclear reactor that's spinning up in the background of Kyle's house and the cat that is clawing the back of Dustin's computer right now.
So. We got some sound effects.
We're going to try to ignore that as much as possible.
A little more fun.
Hey, can we spend a minute on the big episode of Grey's Anatomy this Sunday, just at some point?
That is a last-minute mention.
Is there a new one coming in? Really?
That's a joke. I'm not
definitely
caught up
yet. That. It is 2 minutes in, and we've got nothing accomplished. Dustin, why do you love LeBron James all of a sudden? Because you've always hated him.
Okay. I did love him. Yeah, right. I've not always hated him. As a child, he was my idol, hero.
As a child?
A ninth-grade child.
Fair enough.
I don't know. We're old. He started when we were in high school, so...
I forgot all about that.
I know. Ninth grade, he was a senior, I think. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's finally being, I think, genuine. I think he's moved past everyone hating him and him trying to go out and be the villain. He couldn't embrace that. That's not him. He's finally just cut loose. He won the championship. In particular, everybody saw him just tackle the guy who hit the $75,000 shot. Oh, that was awesome. I mean, you got to give the guy a chance here. He messed up. He's admitted that. He's moving on. He's having fun. He's the best basketball player alive. And I just like to see that humility. He's a billionaire who, since he's 15, everyone's told him that he's the greatest thing alive. Any ounce of humility out of somebody like that, I mean, I think that's great. That's more than you could be able to reasonably ask for. I wouldn't be very humble. I'm not humble now, and I suck at everything. So, and then today he's at the White House, and he's just, you can genuinely tell the guy's overwhelmed. He's like, I grew up poor, my mom was a drug addict, and I'm standing here at the White House, and I've kind of made it. And he's just overwhelmed, he's kind of like, we're at the White House. And I thought it was genuine, I thought it was
drug good. Addict.
Yeah, it was bad, it was really bad.
She's getting some expensive drugs now.
Yeah, as a former LeBron fan with Dustin, I still haven't fully forgiven him, but it's not so much for what he did as much as how he did it. Leaving a team that he just didn't think he had a championship chance at for a team that he felt like someone else could just hand him the championship playing with Dwayne. I lost a little bit of respect for him just because I constantly compare him to Michael Jordan, and Jordan never would have done something like that. But I know it's harsh. He is, I mean, arguably the best player in the NBA right now. I mean, he's right up there with Kevin Durant, who is a close second, I think. But
fair.
Oh, well. Moving on, let's talk about the Pro Bowl. I know we've got some scattered opinions on this one, and then there's also the consensus opinion. It seems to be, Dustin, I think what you think. What is that?
I think it's a joke. I think the fan voting, I mean, guys, okay, Richard Sherman didn't make the Pro Bowl. It's a joke. He's been the best corner in the league this year, as much as I dislike the guy.
It's not all fan voting, though, is it? I mean,
well,
that's
a third.
Player voting. Yeah, I mean, it's three ways. Okay.
It's a third, which is huge. I think too much. I think do away with it. You don't need the game. You don't even need to select the Pro Bowl team. I think the All-Pro team's enough. That's kind of a little further out there. I don't think
that's just to say,
happen.
Isn't that about the same thing? I mean, still vote for the Pro Bowl and select your, I guess, first and second team All-Pros. But
All-Pro is just strictly selected by the writers, the guys who keep up with it. It's their lives. They know, for instance, Richard Sherman, he's a first-team All-Pro cornerback. He didn't even make the Pro Bowl. So, I mean...
Right. So, should you take away, like, the All-Star game in basketball?
No. Well, it's a different kind of game. You don't get tackled, run into. The game is not inherently violent.
Unless you're shooting at
Rondo. Unless you're Rondo and you tear your ACL last night.
I mean, that's an ignorant argument. Injuries are going to happen in any sport.
It happens. It can happen anywhere. Exactly.
He didn't tear his ACL up because he went up across the middle of the court for a pass and got creamed by a guard and a forward. I mean,
I know, but let's say that happened in an All-Star game, then you can make the argument that if he wasn't, the All-Star game wasn't there.
To Cook's point,
now they do take it easy.
See, this is why I actually enjoy the Pro Bowl game. Did y'all watch it?
I watched
some last year. Yeah.
Didn't even turn it on.
This year is actually, they actually tried a lot harder this year. I was impressed with the way they played. The score was a little lopsided, but I saw a lot of interceptions out there. I think they played really good.
I don't know. I mean, I understand
Tampa Bay's players did great.
And maybe it's because I'm a Dolphins fan and we never have Pro Bowlers, so I'm biased. But yeah.
Go ahead, Kyle.
And when we do, Brandon Marshall, we trade him, so I don't know.
Okay, someone's a little sour. I don't know. I do think they're going to have to make a decision about it in a few years. I think it is going to go to some other type of award system. You know, just acknowledge him. You made the Pro Bowl. Congratulations. Right. Yeah. It means nothing. Yeah. But anyway, moving on.
Well, last thing. I mean, everybody chimed in.
Go ahead.
I agree with Dustin saying do away with the game, but keep the All-Pro voting. And I think the All-Pro thing, I know the Pro Bowl itself is what is in a lot of the players' incentives and contracts, and if nothing else, it's kind of, I know for most of the players have talked about it, it's an honor to be voted among the best of your peers and that kind of thing, so it's still very much an honor, but like you said before, I mean, we don't have to have the game itself. I don't know, maybe you keep the voting.
They did say they enjoy playing.
I don't care. Expand the voting a little bit, but I mean, only for that. I mean, allow them to continue to vote so that you know. I mean, you can't have no voting. I mean, even if you did away with all the All-Star games in every sport, you'd still need the voting itself so that you know who the best of the best are. But.
Yeah. It's not like they're not getting paid to go out there and play anyways. $50,000.
Sure, but anyway, like you said, Kyle, moving on.
And last thing, the comparison to other sports. I mean, people do take it easier in the basketball All-Star game. You see, no defense. People just throwing alley-oops. It's crazy.
Which is exactly what NFL is.
That game still be very entertaining played at that level. Where football, if your defensive line isn't really trying, it's just not the same game. Yeah. It might as well be touch. Let them go out there and play some touch. That sounds fun. And I'd watch that for an hour.
Maybe.
Sorry. Okay. Speaking of honors, NFL Honors Award Show this Saturday. We're covering two of the things that are being voted on. We're talking about the AP Coach of the Year and the AP Comeback Player of the Year. A couple of obvious ones on the Comeback Player of the Year. Let's go ahead and start with the Coach of the Year, though. Cody, your opinion.
Why does it always got to be me? Oh, because I'm the right one. Coach of the Year is hands down Bruce Arians. He is the now head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, obviously, after he did a great job with the Colts this year. The Cardinals figured that out and picked him up as their head coach. He stepped in after week 3 when Chuck Pagano, the head coach of the Colts, had to take a leave of absence. He was diagnosed with leukemia, so he left the team for treatment for that. As the head coach for the Colts, Bruce Arians led the team to a 9-3 record, obviously drove them straight into the playoffs. All this with a rookie quarterback, a very young team overall, aside from like Reggie Wayne, but I mean, he filled in great, led that team to the playoffs, and did more than anybody could have imagined. I mean, it's not that easy to step in as an interim coach with a great team, hello New Orleans, and do anything, let alone with a young rookie quarterback and a young team overall and take them to the playoffs. So kudos to Bruce Arians for that.
I would I was just going to say normally I would have said Bruce Arians because Cody said it. I want to disagree with that. Can't go that way. I mean, obviously he's deserving. You give it to him, who's going to complain? Incredible job, rookie quarterback, everything Cody said. But I think, look at Jim Harbaugh. He took a team the year before he got there. They're just kind of middle of the pack. They're just kind of in no man's land. Alex Smith's terrible. Jim Harbaugh comes in, takes Alex Smith, gives him a better year, first of all. And then the next year, he comes in, Alex Smith goes down, and I don't know that there's another coach in the whole league who would say Kaepernick's our guy. We're going with Kaepernick. Just because job security is so it just slips away. I mean, you get 1, 2, 3 years in the NFL. If you mess it up, you're out.
Right. Kaepernick played well in one game, right. And he was like, we're going to play the hot hand. I mean,
and, you know, maybe I think maybe at the time I said this is a stupid decision.
Yeah,
and I think
y'all did.
An outcome doesn't
I still
determine
want it to be.
Right, a good outcome doesn't determine that you made a good decision. So I still don't think it was a great decision, but maybe he's just on a different plane than all of us, and he saw him in practice all year. He had the balls to go do it. So I give him Coach of the Year based on that one decision, and obviously his team's in the Super Bowl.
That thought crossed my mind, the whole that's a big decision, but I you can't argue with Arians taking a terrible team to a playoff contender. But then I think Cook agrees with me on this one.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll did a heck of a job in Seattle. They had a really good draft. And
I mean, he had to make a big decision on what quarterback to start at the beginning of the season.
Huge decision. They paid all this money for Matt Flynn, and then they ended up using a rookie who they liked better at practice.
Exactly.
So if you're making your call on one decision, a quarterback versus another quarterback, hard to argue against Carroll's. But I don't think anybody disagrees with it's probably going to go to Bruce Arians.
See, I didn't know if Bruce Arians was even eligible. I don't know. I mean, I assume he is. I don't think there's a rule that says
I think we all know who he's going to win. So
I think I have an issue with Pete Carroll winning just because he also made the dumbest calls I've ever seen all year. I'm not going to go over him again.
Yeah.
I've talked about him multiple times, but I mean, it's hard for me to say Coach of the Year when he's the one that killed his team's chances of going to the NFC Championship.
And even though you have Peyton Manning as a quarterback, you can't overlook Fox in Denver. Fox, he did a great job this year.
Last year and this year.
Yeah.
He killed me with Ronnie Hillman that one game.
Mm-hmm.
Just decided he was going to use NoSean Moreno. What is that about? Unacceptable. Yeah. Nobody knew about that.
AP Comeback Player of the Year. I know it's obviously going to be split between two players for probably every vote that happens for this, but Dustin, what's your take here?
Obviously, huge debate. And I think when you get in a debate like this, there's a tendency to be think there's a right and a wrong. I don't think there's a right and a wrong. I think both guys are deserving. Can't argue with either one. My opinion is it's got to be Peterson. Just because I think the physical toll taken on your body from playing running back is greater than the toll taken on your body from playing quarterback. You're talking about coming off a totally blown knee, and guys take forever to come back from that.
Jeez, seriously.
Trying
to talk, and you just went all Nazi on your keyboard.
Sorry, I wasn't thinking about it.
It's no problem.
Someone trying to talk or anything.
No.
I don't think Nazi is politically correct.
Yeah, man.
Soup Nazi. So,
not so pretty.
Continue.
Adrian Peterson, no talk for me. Adrian Peterson, running back. And not only, he didn't bounce back and have a good year. He bounced back in an insane amount of time and almost breaks a single season rushing record, a record that stood through healthy seasons of Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, guys like that, who, not coming off any kind of injury like this, didn't break that record. So I just think you can't go against that to me.
Okay, I'm going to go with Dustin on this one. I mean, just like you said, he had one of the greatest seasons out of any running back in NFL history, and he just blew his knee out. So, I mean, total reconstructive surgery, over 2,000 yards, averaging like 170 yards a game, basically, in the last 10 games of the season. I mean...
And his team is not a threat to throw the ball at all.
Exactly.
Know that they can't do that.
He took his team to the playoffs. Just saying.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So that's why I would give it to him, although I also agree with Dustin by saying Peyton Manning is very deserving because he did outstanding this year.
Peyton Manning. It will not be close. Peyton Manning will win this award. I'll tell you why. He missed an entire year. I know Adrian Peterson missed an entire year. However, obstacles that Adrian Peterson did not have to overcome include being told by his longtime team, the team that drafted him first overall back in 1998, I think, who has been the franchise face of that team. He was told he was no longer needed. Adrian Peterson did not have to move to an entirely new organization. He did not switch from playing in an indoor stadium to playing outdoors. He did not go from a climate-controlled environment to whatever the crap is going on today in Denver. Adrian Peterson was not surrounded by all new players and probably a less talented team overall in Denver like Peyton Manning was. and Peyton Manning just happened to come within one Champ Bailey missed assignment of the AFC Championship game, where I actually think they probably would have beat the Patriots, and we'd be watching them play against the 49ers this weekend. Quarterback position is harder to maintain overall with less consistency, and the complexity of the position makes it even harder to, like I said, to maintain consistency overall, and is probably one of the most criticized positions in the game. I did not think Peyton Manning had a chance to even make the playoffs this year with the Broncos, to be honest with you. I thought if they did, it was going to be close. They were going to be a wild card, 10-6, 11-5 at best, and they proved me wrong. Peyton Manning is still the best quarterback in the game. Screw you, Tom Brady lovers. You're all just idiots. Rocky Purvis, I'm looking at you. Peyton Manning is, and in my mind, will forever be the greatest quarterback of all time.
I agree with that. I like Dan Marino, but...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that.
I'm going to take it a little bit different direction. I obviously, no argument for either player. I'm glad I don't have to make the official decision. Glad it's not in my hands. But I have to side with Cody and Peyton because, big deal, Adrian Peterson tore his ACL and his MCL. Those are two important ligaments in your knee. You know how many people tear their ACL or their MCL a year in professional sports? I don't know, but I would put money on the over being 50.
In the NFL.
I don't know.
But do, how do they come back, though, and how long does it take, and how do they perform afterwards?
Adrian Peterson came back faster than usual, but surgeons nowadays do knee surgeries like – taking out tonsils. It's nothing. They know how to do it. We've been doing it for years. We've got it down to the point where you can come back stronger. That is less likely to tear.
This is his second year of med school, and he's already called himself
he's
a doctor.
The man.
He said, we have got this down. Carry on.
I didn't even mean to we. It's nice that it came out like that.
Pride in that man's heart.
We perform these surgeries every day.
If you need an intern or a resident, Dr. Andrews, I'd love to be it. Moving on.
I'm sure he's tuned in.
Yeah, I bet he's watching. The knee, it's a bad problem to have. Rondo just tore his, and he's out for the year. It's a serious surgery. Peyton Manning is a quarterback. You know what the quarterback motion is? It's that. You know where that hurts? Right in your neck. If he had neck surgery. He had how many?
Multiple.
Four?
Yeah.
Or multiple surgeries on his neck. He's a quarterback. He's not known for his legs. He's not known for his athleticism. He's known for his arm and the mechanics and the velocity of his throw. And he came back and he looks every bit as good as he did pre-surgery. That's shocking. That's a neck surgery. People damage their neck and they can't feel their fingertips anymore, let alone throw a football like he still does. I'm blown away by that.
Yeah,
not taking totally. Anything away from
I'll
what Adrian Peterson did.
I'll give you that. You know, talking about knees.
It's a valid argument.
Adrian Peterson is going to be the most deserving runner-up ever in the history of any NFL award ever given. But I remember when I watched Peyton Manning throw his first touchdown pass of the season. No, it wasn't the first touchdown pass. It was his first probably 40-yard bomb or something, and it was just on a rope. I had my first Ed Helms moment from The Hangover. I was just, he still got it kind of thing, you know?
I remember watching that last interception. That was nice.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Across the body on your own 30. Nice.
That is the longest we've ever spent talking about an award.
It was very Brett Favre-like.
All right, let's talk about the NBA. Dustin.
Let's do it for an hour.
Big-time Celtics man. Tell me what the big deal in Boston is.
Well, our main man, number 9, Mr. Rajon Rondo, is not going to be with us until this time next year because he tore his ACL, which leaves you out not just for a year, a basketball season year, a calendar year. He won't be back until the All-Star break next year. That's why Adrian Peterson's comeback player of the year. That's also why I think you're going to see Jason Terry excel. I think you're going to see him explode. His points per game or points per 100 possessions is down from last year by 6, I think. His field goal attempts are down a little bit. I think you're going to see him with the ball in his hands. When he plays with Rondo, he's forced to be a spot-up shooter. He's a great shooter, not necessarily his game. He can drive. He comes off pick and rolls with the ball in his hand. He can find somebody. He can get to the basket and create there. I think you're going to see him really, really start to score more. And Celtics fan, Rondo fan, he may be a little overrated. He can't shoot at all. His field goal percentage is okay. but that's because teams leave him completely wide open. If you watch the Celtics, they sag off him 5 feet. They give him the shot from 10 to 15 feet. It's ridiculous. I think when Jason Terry is the man, he's the point guard, he's got the ball in his hands, I don't think we're going to miss a beat. And by not missing a beat, I mean we're going to continue to be the eighth seed in the East and maybe barely make the playoffs. Rondo, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Go ahead.
Do you think there's a chance that they get in the playoffs with your, yeah, I mean, with this changes that they're going to make on their roster?
Just because the teams behind us, well, we got the Sixers behind us. I mean, so I don't know when Bynum's coming back. If he comes back soon, maybe they catch us. I don't know if he will. I think they'll still make it. I think Boston's problem is offense. It's not defense. They're great on defense. I think they're still going to be great on defense. Avery Bradley's an even better on-ball defender than Rondo. The defense is going to be fine. I worry about Paul Pierce. There's talk that we may make a trade. KG can't be traded because of salary. He's basically untradeable. He's got so much guaranteed money over the next couple of years. Nobody's going to take that on. Paul Pierce, though, has this year and a player option next year, I think. He's definitely more tradable. He's at that point in his career, can't really create his own shot. He kind of thrived with Rondo there because he comes off the screens. He gets open looks. Rondo finds him. So he may be traded. I see some talk, Paul Pierce for Rudy Gay. I don't really like that much. Rudy Gay's going to make $19 million next year. That's ridiculous. But I digress. I don't want to see him make a huge trade just because Rondo's hurt.
I think it'll be interesting I think it'll be interesting to see after this season if Jason Terry and Avery Bradley are able to develop substantially, if Jason Terry gets a good bit of ball handling playing time, if they can't trade him. In addition to maybe a Paul Pierce or something like that, package it together and get a good bit back.
And just to jump back in, a lot of these trades, they're talking about Sullinger, our rookie who's playing really well. He's getting better. Each month he's gotten better. And they talk about Bradley. I don't want to see us trade either one of those guys. They're very players. I don't want to see us get
You have your
guys.
Core three, obviously, but even Rondo has been in the league for a while now. They're starting to call him a veteran.
A veteran after 2 years nowadays in pro sports.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like,
but
I don't know why.
Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, as great as they are, especially Pierce, they are both getting old. I don't think it's a good idea to deal Sullinger and Bradley. You're young guys that, you drafted them for a reason. So that's enough about the Celtics. Let's talk about the other
more Celtics
conference.
Dusty, I know you're not going to like to hear it, but the Lakers are kind of picking it up a little bit.
They look good.
They had a couple of games, including a victory over Oklahoma City the other night. It looked pretty impressive. Kyle had some of the stats on that earlier. I don't remember what they were.
Let's just clarify. A two-game win streak does not imply picking it up. The only reason we're at all excited about it is because one of them was against Oklahoma City.
That's what I'm saying.
Clarification over. The stats on that were that Kobe had 14 assists, Steve Nash and Meta World Peace, I hate calling him that.
I won't.
Combined for 32 points. And that's kind of getting away from the Mike D'Antoni offense, which was run and gun, Steve Nash assist, Kobe shoot. And it's kind of working. And Mike D'Antoni actually came out and said he thinks it might be a good thing that Kobe's not shooting quite as much. I'm sure Dwight Howard agrees with that. But
how many of the four shots that Dwight Howard took the other night did he make?
I don't actually know. I just saw that stat.
I've seen is that he only took four shots, but nobody said what the percentage was.
Four or five, I don't remember.
Here's my thing, and it's a long shot, but let's say they've won two in a row now. Let's say they win eight out of the next ten. Next 10 games, it'll still be before the All-Star break, before the trade deadline. Let's say they go 8 of 10, which will bring them back to 500. I think that's 27-27, so they'll have about 26 games left. Actually, maybe 27 games left.
I say don't count on it.
Say they go back to 500 with 27 games to play. Do you think that either the Lakers or the Celtics, maybe even together, would have interest in trades to improve either of those ball clubs? I mean, I know maybe the Celtics do something like we were talking about a minute ago, Dustin, where they're kind of in salary dump mode something where they're trying to get some depth and draft picks for next year.
Possible. Paul Pierce is from L.A. He grew up there. He grew up a Lakers fan. There's always been that talk. But he's a Celtic. I don't see us making a trade with him. The only guy I think they would try to dump is Powell. And I don't see a Paul Pierce for Pau Gasol. I don't see how that really helps the Lakers or the Celtics. And outside of that, Pau, he makes $19 million next year. That's more than anybody on the Celtics team. Rondo makes $11 million, to kind of put that in perspective. I don't think we're going to bring him in with that salary. But you never know. I mean, we need offense. Our defense is fine, I think.
So, what about on the Lakers side, though? Well, I mean,
I certainly don't see any trades between the two clubs because, like Dustin said, there's just no matchups that they can trade that would work out for either team. And I don't think the Lakers are going to be making any trades right now either. They spent plenty of money in the offseason. They're blockbuster trades. They got Dwight Howard. They got Steve Nash. They can't be making any more trades. They don't have any super important injuries that they have to deal anything away. The Lakers just need to figure out how to run that offense because they've got proficient scorers and they've got a couple defenders. It's a little iffy, but they just need to figure out a coaching system that'll work there. It looks like maybe they're getting to it. And the Celtics, I don't think they're going to make a trade just because they have, like Dustin said, so much youth, so much potential there. So
it's just shocking to me. I know we've talked about it before. The Lakers did what they did in the offseason, got Dwight Howard, got Steve Nash, and they were still.
Here's this. They won't do this, but they should trade Dwight Howard now. They've got one more, a few more weeks.
He's a free agent this season, right?
He's a free agent. Unless things drastically change, he's not coming back, and then you've got nothing from him. If you traded him right now, you could get some decent pieces. You could get lottery picks. I mean, you got to use – the NBA is all about assets. They've got a huge asset. They need to freaking make it count.
That's not a bad idea.
Finishing up with the NBA, a couple of last-minute mentions. We do want to talk about one basketball game. We're not going to actually analyze it or anything. Just want to mention it in case anybody else actually wants to check it out, in case you didn't realize it was going to be happening. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Central Time, we'll have the Miami Heat at the Brooklyn Nets. That is a, like I said, 7 p.m. Central tip-off, and it's going to be on ESPN. So most of you guys will have it on national television. Just very, very quickly, running down the line, Kyle Pickett.
Brooklyn is, after tonight, 11-3 in 2013. They really turned it around. I think they upset Miami.
Pick it. Thank you, Dustin.
Brooklyn.
Same as Kyle. Brooklyn. Brook Lopez goes off down low.
Cookie.
Miami.
Also going to take Miami. That'll be fun. 2-on-2.
Do you watch the NBA? That Miami doesn't have a center.
Don't care. They have LeBron. That's
I'm done.
I watched the message.
Michigan is up to number one at the college basketball poll. Kyle's happy to see that. I'm also happy to see that. I did say that was going to happen. It was pretty much the obvious choice. Not much
I'm a little disappointed because I took Kansas.
They gathered 51 of the 65 available first-place votes in the AP coaches poll. Obviously, Duke was knocked off this past weekend after a 90-63 loss to Miami. Last week, they fell from the 5 on the poll.
That hurt.
Stupid. Check out that outline there, Kyle. Big old red blob here.
Yeah, the mic messed up on me there.
Don't want to do that.
Just a little extra tidbit. The New Orleans, currently the Hornets, play the Utah Jazz Wednesday. And I just thought that was kind of neat because the Hornets are changing their name to the New Orleans Pelicans. And Utah obviously does not deserve a name like the Jazz. It's just interesting because of the dynamics of the team names. And over the years, I don't even know all the history behind it, all the New Orleans team moved to Utah, kept the name Jazz, and now that obviously doesn't fit. The New Orleans or the Utah Mormons, and there's the Charlotte Bobcats that used to be the Hornets. Are they going to be the Hornets again after the Hornets are?
Yes. Yes.
That's really happening? Mess.
Yeah, they said something about it the
other day. Oh my gosh. See, I didn't even know that the Hornets were going to turn into the Pelicans, and now
that is officially
happening. It's not official in Charlotte, but Charlotte is trying, trying to do it. So.
What a waste. Coming up on Thursday's show, we're going to try to do a lot better than we did tonight, for starters. Second of all, we're going to preview Super Bowl 47. Pretty excited to watch the Ravens 49ers game this Sunday afternoon. Also going to discuss the NFL's AP Most Valuable Player and Offensive Player of the Year awards. And obviously, as always, we want to get some viewer feedback. We got a little bit this past week. I only got two or three folks send us one message on Google+, and a couple on Facebook. Want some more, guys. Tell us what you think about these awards. I would love to even put some of your feedback live into the show. We can do some screenshots of what's on Facebook and whatnot. So send us your picks for those awards and your opinions on anything else we'll discuss tonight. We really do want to hear from you. Other than that, if you've got comments, disagreements, or grievances that you'd like for us to air on the show, please email us at armchairanalystshow, that's back-to-back S's there, at gmail.com. Find me on Twitter at Cody L. McDonald. I'm getting used to that, so feel free to show me what the heck to do there. I'm still learning. As always, we do want you to check out our Facebook and Google Plus pages. You can connect with us there. And each and every video podcast episode is available on YouTube. And as always, if you want the audio-only versions, those are available for download in the iTunes Store. All those places can be we can be found simply by searching Armchair Analysts. Kyle Che, Dustin C., Daniel Cook, at least this was only our second worst episode we've ever had. Could have been worse. Really could have been worse. What did I say, Dustin what?
Dustin C., Kyle Che.
Kyle Che, Dustin H., Daniel, peace out.
Got it.